Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Report Saturday edition. I am Beth, aka B True. And just so blessed this weekend on Small Business Saturday, first Saturday after Thanksgiving. I hope everyone had an awesome Thanksgiving Day and Black Friday, and continue to have an awesome Black Friday weekend. And now we're celebrating Small Business Saturday and weekend, Cyber Monday. So all of the special shopping days are just combined together, right? And they start very early. But number one is the season to be grateful for one another and to be grateful and thankful for life itself also. And Mother's 86th birthday was celebrated the day before Thanksgiving. So thank you to those of you that not only wish us a happy Thanksgiving, but also wish Mother a happy 86th birthday also. Today we're talking to Cousin Linda again regarding the holiday season. Excuse me for getting tongue-tied. I am still getting over this cold. Hopefully, I will be able to deliver without any coughing, because 2 weeks has been too long. And Cousin Linda and I, we talked about hot toddies over the weekend. I don't know if we talked about it on the air or not, but thank God my sister made me a hot toddy on Thursday, and I think that is really helping also outside of the over-the-counter and just trying to keep myself warm also. Even Mother has been experiencing a slight cold too, so she and I are both trying our best to get it out of our system. But hopefully I will, Cousin Linda will be the captain of the ship this morning, so hopefully I will not be interrupting with coughing and able to share my two cents during the broadcast without any coughing. But Black Friday has been, it's been a success, but then also it's been some craziness going on also throughout the world, throughout the U.S., in regards to the brawls that we all knew would happen and would still are happening, right? But it seemed like it's a success. I think since 2005, this has been the most traveled Thanksgiving weekend, and I think it's one of the most successful in regards to Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend also. So that's good that the numbers are looking good also. You know, it's important for us to remember the true meaning of the holiday season, but then also, you know, it's good that the numbers are looking good also. So I need to get my screen to popped off, so let me pop back in so I can connect Cousin Linda, our culture and lifestyle expert, connect her call, because her call is in. I just need to connect her call, put her on live, and we are good to go. But again, I wish everyone a very successful Small Business Saturday today as you operate your businesses and your communities, and those of us that like to support small businesses in our communities and neighborhoods also. So next you will hear Cousin Linda's voice. Good morning, Cousin Linda.
Good morning, Cousin Bethany and listeners. I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving and didn't eat too much. And for those of you who went shopping yesterday, I hope you had a very successful Black Friday shopping day.
Exactly. What do you think about these brawls that we've heard about happening at malls in Missouri, Alabama?
You know, I've missed all that. I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, there's been a couple reports where a couple malls had a couple of Black Friday shoppers that just couldn't take it.
Well, that's to be expected. For me, that would be one of the main reasons why I would not want to go to shopping on Black Friday. because of the potential for violence.
Right.
I think
the adrenaline, the hustle and the bustle, you know, Black Friday, you know, working in it, shopping in it. It's a fun time. It's a time that people should celebrate, but you're right. I mean, there's a time that we have to watch out for our surroundings also.
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned on last week's show that a lady wanted to accost me for taking her parking space.
Now, are you serious?
Yes, at North Park Mall here in Dallas. How she arrived
at
the fact that
it's one of my favorite places. Everybody know that.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't know how she arrived at the fact that it was her parking space. Yes, we both were waiting for this person to pull out. You know how you drive around, looking for a parking space and you can't find one, and finally you pull back around and you see somebody backing out of a space. And so
right.
She was waiting, and I was waiting, and it just so happens that I was able to pull in it first. So I thought she would have kept going to look for another space. However, she let her window down and started yelling at me because I took her parking space. And I tried to ignore her because she, and you know, I just felt like she was upset about the parking space, and I thought she would go on, but she didn't. And so I finally had to ask her, how was it her parking space? And she said, yeah, she said, you saw me. I was trying to get in that space. And I said, well, so was I, and I got it. And then she told me she had a sick child in the car, and I needed to move and let her have that parking space because she had a sick child in the car. So I told her if she had a sick child in the car.
But if you have a sick child in the car, why are you at North Park Mall?
Right.
As much as I love North Park Center, why are you at North Park Center anyway?
Right. So I told her she needed to either be at the hospital or at home. And I think I had to use a cuss word and go on about my business. And thank God she didn't get out and attack me. So that kind of made me nervous about going to these shopping centers, you know, around the holidays like that during prime parking time. Because I think it was probably around 1 o'clock in the afternoon or something. So if I go, which I probably won't, it will be on a day that I don't think will be busy, like a day through the week, early in the afternoon or something like that. I didn't even leave home yesterday. I just didn't want to.
That is wow. You're waiting for the parking spot. What were you supposed to do? Say, you can have it. I'll take the next one. That is crazy.
Yeah, I know. And like I said, especially when you've been riding around, you know, for minutes on end looking for a parking space. And I'm sure if she had, you know, let me alone, she probably could have gone on and found somebody else who was pulling out, and she could have got that space. But she wasted about 5 minutes talking crazy to me.
With a sick child.
Was supposedly.
Why?
I guess I was supposed to say, well, okay, ma'am, you and a sick child can have this parking space.
I wonder if you was a sick child.
And go on in the mall and you shop with that baby with that temperature.
Wow. Well, I've been checking out your, like Oprah have her favorite items. I have been checking out your favorite items on your Facebook page.
Really?
Yeah, what is what? Cartier, what are some of your favorite items for Christmas?
Well, I like Cartier. Like I said, I like Cartier anything. However,
right.
I wish I could go back and get my Cartier tank that I sold to somebody that came through town buying up jewelry, estate jewelry and stuff. And I sold my Cartier watch because it had stopped running. And I was beginning to pay more because I bought a Cartier back in the day when they were affordable, a tank watch. And, it was becoming a little expensive for me to keep it because you have to treat them like an automobile. And I didn't know that when I purchased it. You have to get tune-ups and they have to be cleaned. And every now and then something will go wrong with it. And the jeweler here, I took it to Bockendorf's, and they had to send it to New York, and I was without it for a couple of weeks. I had to wait for it to come back from New York.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, you know, it was not a very delicate watch or anything like that. It just required some maintenance over the years. And I felt like I was putting more into it than I had paid for it. Not to mention, you do have to buy a leather band, one of those crocodile leather bands occasionally, and they were by no means cheap.
Right.
And I sold it.
Uh-huh.
Didn't get anywhere near what I paid for it, but I would love to get another tank, and I think I might invest in it this year or next year. I don't know, since I've gone back to work and I have extra money. I may invest in another tank. And my favorite perfume of all time is, and I can't pronounce it, it's L-E-S-M-U-S-T de Cartier. And I call it Le Must, but it may
yes.
be, in French it may be Le Must.
Oh, okay.
But, mm-hmm, I don't know. And I love the Panther bracelet and anything that they designed for the late Duchess of Windsor.
Right, because I'm even familiar with that bracelet. Wow. So that's why you're our culture and lifestyle expert. Wow.
No. But I've been a fan of Cartier for many, many years before people even knew what brand it was or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
And I was just amazed. People don't know the house of Cartier. How could you not know about this world-famous jeweler? In fact, I have a friend this year who I mentioned
uh-huh.
I wanted a Cartier tank.
I think
said,
even as a little girl, you talked about Cartier to me.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. So,
The fashion house itself at a young age. Right.
Mm-hmm. So people talk about Rolexes. Huh? Oh, I was just saying people talk about
Rolexes. Oh, yeah, and
Rolex.
Yeah. People should know about Cartier and Rolex. Fendi.
And Audemars. Yeah. And the way I got my tank, I don't know, it was just on a fluke. Do you remember when your sister Diane and I worked at Frost Brothers?
Oh, yes, that was a time I loved.
And they, Frost Brothers, had the Richard D. Eisman jewels inside.
Yes.
And, that was a jewelry boutique. And the Eismans were very, very nice people. They were multimillionaires, but down to earth. Everybody that worked in that store was very nice and very friendly.
Yes.
And I was doing undercover security at the time, and so it was just time that I decided I'd walk into Eisman, check on them, see if they were okay, and they
mm-hmm.
were. And so I was talking to one of the salespersons, Peter, and I said, Peter, are you ready to sell me that Cartier? And he said, yes. And so Richard Eisman Jr. told him to bring some tanks out and let me look at them, because I had mentioned to him before that that's what I wanted.
Wow.
And so Junior had, I think, about six of them on the counter,
mm-hmm.
and I just fell in love with one, with the brown crocodile wrist band. And,
uh-huh.
and I said, and Junior, and he didn't like to be called Junior. I said, Junior, I said, are you going to give me a big discount on it? And he said, Peter, go ahead and give her a 20% discount. And I
uh-huh.
said, well, can I put it on layaway? And he said, yes. So I got my 20% discount. They let me put it on layaway. And in a couple of months, I had my Cartier tank.
Oh, my God.
I was not expecting it. I never, ever thought that would be something that I could actually own. I don't know. That was kind of like a little unexpected miracle to me.
Right. Right. That. Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
The designer gods were present that day.
Yes,
wow.
They were.
Oh my God. Yeah, I know. Cause you were like, you were serious, but you were like joking, and he was like, okay.
I had no
Let's
idea. Saw
them junior.
Yeah. And if I had thought that he was going to really let me get one at a discount and put it on layaway and everything, I would have gone in there, hi, Richard, how are you this evening?
Right.
But no, I said, Junior, are you going to give me a discount? And he said, yeah, Peter gave her a 20% discount, which was a chunk off that watch.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then layaway, too. Some people don't even know what layaway means nowadays.
Ain't that the truth?
Wow.
Your Aunt Mildred and I were talking about that last night, about how we used to put stuff on layaway at Sears. I used to put layaway. I used to put merchandise on layaway everywhere they had a layaway. If you had a layaway,
exactly.
I was one of your customers, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, layaways. The big holiday, speaking of Sears, I mean, not to mention, you know, the Neiman Marcus and Spiegel Kellogg's, but the Sears and JCPenney Kellogg's and just
mm-hmm.
those stores were just so awesome during the holiday season.
We used to look forward to those catalogs, and I hate that Sackowitz, the competition to Neiman Marcus, went out of business, because to me, they had better catalogs than Neiman Marcus had, and that's really saying something. And I had the opportunity to work for Sackowitz for a time here in Dallas, and I got your cousin on. And we worked in the gift wrap department.
Oh, he's my cousin, William?
I mean, your sister. No, I'm sorry, your
sister. Oh, yeah, Diane, yeah.
Yeah. And
we love fashion. The family, we're nerds, and we love fashion in the family, you all.
Uh-huh.
Aunt Mildred was the first salesperson, not man or woman, to ever work
mm-hmm.
at the Sears downtown Jackson. Just like Cousin London made history. As a preteen marching with Mega Evers, Aunt Mildred was hired as one of the first salespeople in Sears downtown Jackson. The first person, not man, but person.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And she loved Sears. We still talk about how they were like a family that worked there, all the employees, you know, most of them were very close, and she's maintained friendships with those people even to this day, a lot of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course, some have passed on, and they're at the great big shopping mall in the sky. But
right.
You know, she still has very close friends that she met when she was working at Sears.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Yeah, Sackowitz. Yeah, I remember the Sackowitz catalogs, too, because it seemed like a lot of their items were more expensive than Neiman Marcus.
They were. And some of their gifts were more, I don't want to say exotic, but more unusual. Like, they would have.
That's what I remember. I used to remember looking in that catalog thinking, what?
Mm-hmm.
That is what? I can't. Unbelievable.
Yeah, they had dancing lessons from Mitzi Gaynor, and I think they had singing lessons. I don't want to say from Frank Sinatra, but somebody of that stature,
right.
And trips that you just could not imagine. I don't know. I don't think that was what inspired me to travel as much. I think I always did want to travel. But I used to see some of the Sackowitz gifts, you know, things that you could do that weren't material, but still very, very nice and different. Things that you would not expect to see as a, you know, a gift to give to someone.
Well, what is the premier store now in Dallas that's comparison to Neiman Marcus that is like a Sackowitz?
I guess it would be Saks Fifth Avenue or Nordstrom. Now, I think Nordstrom is a, you know, upscale retailer, but they have
right.
so many affordable items. Everybody is affordable now.
Yeah.
There's always something that you can go. Once upon a time, you could only dream about shopping at these certain stores, but now I don't think any of them are out of the realm of possibility. I think if you've got $50, you can certainly go in and buy something and come out with one of those coveted bags. Back in the day, that used
exactly,
to be the thing.
Exactly, I was talking with the spot in Neiman Marcus, one of my favorite, in North Park Mall recently. And my teacher from Ogle School, she works in the spa. But I was speaking with them because I need a haircut when I come to Dallas. And I was so shocked when they told me I could get a haircut for $50. And I'm like, what? I mean, what? I couldn't believe it. You're right. You know, that was the last place I thought I could come visit and get a haircut at Neiman Marcus. And they told me I could come. Yeah, they were like, yeah, we have awesome specials going on where we will cut your hair for you, Beth. You know, I could not believe it because, Linda, it used to be unheard of, you know, to be able to walk in Neiman Marcus and get an upscale cut when I could go in someplace else and they charge me $200, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
Right. I'm like, what? No way. So who would say no to that?
Nobody if you want a good haircut.
Exactly. I thought that was just so unbelievable, you know?
And excuse me, Beth, I hope I'm not getting a cold or whatever it is that you have.
Oh my goodness.
Change in the weather or what, but yeah, I've had a little cough. I'm going to have to take another Alka-Seltzer, cold medicine, and not
right,
whatever this is.
I didn't get the Alka-Seltzer, but I bought the Theraflu, but that Alka-Seltzer, I know it would hit the lick.
Exactly. But I remember when Barney's New York opened a small division of their store, it was like a little boutique in Dallas, and at that time Michael Payne and I were good friends, and we had a friend Joseph who's dead now. Boy, we couldn't wait to go in Barney's New York. Now, you talking about a store that was really out of our price ranges, but I managed to buy a pair of socks. This was in probably 85, 86, something like that, and I bought a beautiful pair of knee socks. And I still have those socks. The elastic is as tight as it was the day that I bought the socks.
Oh, my God,
and
quality.
Quality, yeah. And it's so hard to find quality like that now. And I remember years ago, back in like 1968, 69, I used to order from this place in New Rochelle, New York. Some of your older listeners may remember. It was called FBS, which stood for French Boot Shop.
And I ordered
two pairs of wool knee socks from them. And the socks were machine washable. I didn't have to worry about dry cleaning them. Those socks lasted, I know, 35 years.
Oh, my goodness. So when I was studying fashion, and my teacher used to always explain to us the difference in quality. And and she would talk about the staple items that you buy for your wardrobe. Those are the items that she was speaking of that can last a lifetime. Items like you're speaking of.
A lot of people say, well, I don't want something that's 10 years old or 15 years old. But I tell you, if it's the right piece of clothing or whatever, it never goes out of style. Never, ever. And if it does go out of style, I guarantee you it'll come back.
True.
So just hang on to it. But now, like I said, it's just even at your better stores, unless you're buying designer material, designer fabric or designer quality clothes, they're not going to last. Because the first thing to go is if you have elastic, it's going to be elastic. And one of your seams may start coming apart. But
I'm so glad you're going into that area because that is, so as we shop, don't just look for the deals, but look for lasting fabric, quality fabric, the way items are sewn together.
Yeah, like if you're buying stripes, what is it, horizontal stripes or whatever, make sure they're matching. You don't want your stripes and your plaids or whatever to be mismatched because that's the first sign of cheap, inferior quality. So, yeah, if you're going to give a gift and you want to impress a person or you want to make sure it's something that's going to last, just, excuse me, go ahead and invest a few more dollars or search and search and search until you find that item at a price you think is a good price and go ahead and get it rather than just saying, wow, ooh, 75% off. I think I'll go ahead and get it. And then maybe two or three
right.
months later, you know, it's no longer a good-looking item.
Right. It might be more of a trendy item that's out of style the day after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And, or like you said, it might be designer item, but pay attention to the stitching. Pay attention
mm-hmm.
to the quality of the fabric. Just pay attention.
Yeah, so many of our items are made overseas, not to say that something's wrong with that, but I was telling Aunt Mildred the other day, I used to love buying clothes in America because I looked for the union label because I know that was a well-made garment. And I miss Jarrell of Texas and a couple of other clothing manufacturers that were headquartered here in Dallas. I think Dallas was the number three fashion capital of the United States. And even
that's one reason why I love Dallas so much. That's all my teachers in school would talk about, being buyers and how Dallas is the fashion mecca of the South, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because before I ever even fathomed that I would move to Dallas, Texas, I used to shop at this store called Lucille's Hat Shop on Capitol Street in Jackson. And they had the cutest dresses, even though it was called Hat Shop. They sold dresses. And they would only get maybe two in each size. And they had layaway. I can't tell you how many good quality dresses that I bought at Lucille Hat Shop. And they used to buy them over here from Jarrell of Texas.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of our manufacturers were in California. You know, we know about New York, but a lot of fashions came from California. There was a S. Howard Hirsch, I think, of California, that had just beautiful clothes. And, I mean, it was just merchandise that you could not wear out, even if you tried. But I just don't see those things anymore, certainly not on the rack. Now, I'm not able to go do designer clothing, and I don't go anywhere to wear those kinds of clothes. But just, you know, just regularly going into some of your big box retailers, you just do not get quality. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you used to. You're right. You used to go to to the designer, the ready-to-wear departments, and find some of the best, well-put-together clothing out there. But you are so right.
Even shoes now. I remember once upon a time when stores when your high-end retailers would say, we don't sell any shoes that don't have a leather sole. And now you buy shoes in these places that have man-made soles and rubber. So the rubber sole got popular all of a sudden.
Yeah, I am so surprised.
I am too, so surprised.
As a little girl and in my tweens, I mean, you could find, like what you were saying, leather shoes and well-made shoes, and now even the most expensive shoes are not, made from leather. And you and I, we love animals, and we are animal activists. But at the same time, the animal products, where are the leather shoes and and I know you love your furs too. You know, where are the true products out there? The quality products,
just aren't being manufactured anymore because it's too easy to make a buck selling knockoffs and inferior quality stuff. It's all about the dollar now. I don't think people take pride in it.
Exactly, because, again, we're animal activists, but at the same time, we believe in quality products. What's going on with quality products?
Exactly. But I won't buy a fur from China. Because I've seen online, how inhumanely the animals are treated. And thank God we can't buy Canadian seal furs in this country because of the way they club those poor animals. It just breaks my heart to think about it.
Exactly. It's good that they're exposing what actually happens.
But my thing was, the poor animal is already deceased. And my purchasing a garment is not going to stop the slaughter and manufacture of these animals. Because, I mean, when you go to some fur store, it's tons and tons and tons of furs. So for warmth, back when we used to have really severe winters, I didn't
right.
see any harm in purchasing a rabbit or fox, and I did buy a mink.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully, when they say the animals were raised in America, I'm hoping that's true and were raised and killed humanely. But, I mean, when you look
right.
at people who are not vegan and eat chicken and beef, those animals aren't treated humanely for the most part. So,
mm-hmm.
We have good intentions. But a lot of times your good intentions don't come to fruition. The wholesale slaughter of animals will continue unless the world becomes vegan.
Right.
But are we getting off topic? Are we still supposed to be talking about shopping?
I think we're safely still on topic. I mean, it's our topic also. But you went into talking about quality of merchandise, so we're talking about, online shopping and shopping this weekend and etiquette like we did last weekend and any other hot topics that you would like to talk about regarding the holiday season. But I'm glad you went into talking about the importance of purchasing quality merchandise, because we can shop online and in stores and get good deals, but what about the quality of the merchandise? And then you mentioned something that you brought up last week, the holiday season time when you buy gifts for people and they're unappreciative. So how
mm-hmm.
do we give gifts if they're, if they're like from a dollar to $1 million? How do we give a gift that is acceptable and maybe won't be re-gifted, or returned?
Yes. And
like
I hate
you mentioned,
to mention,
some people don't even, if it's not exactly what they want. I mean, so we're put under a lot of pressure when we're gift shopping anyway.
Mm-hmm. I hate to tell the listeners this, but Aunt Helen, may she rest in peace, I think was the world's biggest, re-gifter?
Yes,
because
indeed. And I loved her re-gift.
You get so much stuff over the years that people give you that you can never use, and
right.
you like, well, it's here in the package and I've never used it, so I'll just go ahead and give it to somebody else. My
right.
mom was good at doing that,
and she was wonderful too. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you would be happy to get that re-gift. I know I always was happy, like, wow, I like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like I said, it was stuff that she would never use. So many people had given her gifts over the years, and they would still be in the package, still have the price tags on them. And I would ask her sometimes, because I know I gave her a lot of gifts. And when
uh-huh.
I would go to Jackson and just look in her closet, I'm like, Mama, how come you've never worn this? And I'm wondering, did she really like it? Did she not appreciate
right,
cause it?
Right, because I still have some of your gifts you have given me. You know, I think I'm on Helen rebirth, And, they had gotten rid of a lot of my things when I got back last year, but thank God a lot of my important things that you had given me, I still have. like the Chinese
mm-hmm.
dress that you bought me on one of your trips to, did you go to Japan or China?
Hong
you brought
Kong.
Me a pretty two-piece dress. Yeah.
Hong Kong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, but you're right. Aunt Helen, boy, she would re-give, but she always knew how to re-give. They were
mm-hmm.
everything I received from a little girl to a grown woman was always things that I needed, personalized
mm-hmm.
re-gifts.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And unlike me, I have gotten things from people that I didn't want or couldn't use. Because for some reason, I don't know why, people couldn't get my taste right.
Right.
If they bought me a personal item, it just wasn't something that I liked or wanted. I know one year Michael Payne gave me a very pretty crystal flower vase, but it was nothing that I needed. I didn't have anywhere to put it. I thought he knew me well enough to know that that was not something that I would want.
Right, because you two are two peas in a pod.
Yes, we were.
Right.
He didn't. And now, why he thought I would want that, I don't know. But I didn't seem enthusiastic enough, so he kept it. He took it back. I said, well, that's okay. I don't mind. Because I'm wondering, is this something that he wanted and gave it to me?
It must have been something he wanted for you.
Yeah, it was something.
He wanted it.
I think he wanted it for himself because since I was acting like I wasn't very enthusiastic about it, he said, well, I'll just keep it. And I said, okay. So that to me, that just kind of seemed like it was something that he wanted for himself, and he gave it to me in the guise of a Christmas gift, knowing I wouldn't want it and couldn't use it. I mean, he had never seen a flower vase in any of my apartments. I never said I wanted a crystal vase. You know, some people drop hints.
Right.
And I had never,
like
ever,
if it was a Cartier crystal vase.
Or Waterford or Lalique. But
right.
It was just, a run-of-the-mill crystal vase. Looked like you could get, I don't know where it came from. And I know Michael liked quality and would buy, better items. But it looked like something that you could have picked up at Family Dollar or somewhere like that. It was not a special vase.
Uh-huh.
But I try to act like it's something I want, like I have a friend that gives me a bottle of wine around Christmas. Not my taste in wine, but I'm, thank you so much. And they're still in my refrigerator over the years.
Oh, goodness.
Why she does that, she knows I like wine, but I can't just come right out and say I like red Portuguese wine.
Oh,
but I think,
right.
You know,
she need to know.
Yeah, because she'll just pick up a bottle of rosé or white wine or something like that, something that I have no desire for. But
right. But if you're going to do it right. So you need to hint to her that you have a certain favorite.
I don't want to hurt her feelings because she'll know that over the years, she's given me something that I don't want.
Right.
But, But, yeah, I guess you can just come right out and ask a person what they want or listen to them saying, one day I'm going to buy myself a DVD player or one day I'm going to get that Tom Ford bottle of perfume.
Right.
And that would be a good indicator of what a person would like.
Yeah.
Or, some inexpensive gold earrings. You can get some nice gold-plated earrings for about $20,
$25. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, it doesn't take much to study a person, to study a person.
Right.
So I guess that's something we should talk about maybe next time or with gift shopping. Or we can continue on talking about it now since this is a shopping weekend. I mean, just to get a basic idea of what they like or what their hobbies are or what their side hustle is. There are so many people out there with side hustles. Get them a gift maybe that's in relation to the side hustle,
Exactly.
So you're right. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to really, figure a person out. I mean, if they like books are they movie buffs? Do they like going to actual movie premieres or screenings or anything like that? Just any, something that you think that they would appreciate.
And when you give certain gifts, you can also benefit for yourself. Like if you have frequent flyer programs, if there is an airline that you use, when you purchase online, you can get free miles. Now, I had to use 77,000 frequent flyer miles for my upcoming trip in February to New Orleans. I remember I used to be able to go to Paris.
Oh, so it's good to know you will be in New Orleans for Mardi Gras?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. It's good to know. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
Oh, well, I used to fly to Paris for 40,000 miles on American, and that was round trip. And I was shocked when I, because, I mean, my miles were approaching 100,000, and I was like, I got to, you know, use these and take a trip somewhere. But I accumulated a whole slew of those miles, not by flying, but by making purchases online. When I see something. And, you know, like I was saying, if you are going to buy gifts, you can buy them online and benefit yourself as well. But it cost me 77,000 miles just to go from Dallas to New Orleans round trip, which I thought was horrible. I said I had heard that, you know, the frequent flyer programs were not going to be as generous as they were in the past, but I had no idea. So you might do better sometimes just catching one of these airline sales or whatever. I know Southwest has them all the time. And different airlines have cost, you know, price drops. So be on the lookout for that in case you want to give somebody an airline ticket or, you know, a free trip somewhere.
And see, many of you are making plans to go to New Orleans. I know this in February for Mardi Gras, so definitely listen to Cousin Linda regarding that coming up in February.
Start booking now where you can still get specials. And, you know, if you wait till the last minute, all the hotels will probably be booked up.
Exactly. I can see the listeners listening now worldwide.
Yeah, I see where you had one listener from California said that was a little too early for him. So,
yeah, that's my friend Amar, and he's a world traveler like you. So I'm looking forward to you two meeting. He travels like you, he's based in New York and California. So I didn't know if he would call us this morning, and I invited Roughneck too. So Roughneck probably is turning over in his bed right now.
He's probably in the bed asleep.
I'm sad too about the Cowboys. The Saints are doing good, but the Cowboys,
he
might not want to talk about the Cowboys right now.
I was gonna say, you know, he's in mourning.
Right, so he might not
want to talk. I like looking at his comments when the Cowboys score a touchdown or something.
Oh, my God.
He's just all over Facebook talking smack. But he's in hiding now, probably.
But right now, he's very sad right now.
Can't enjoy his Thanksgiving weekend.
Right, because he was so excited. And I honestly thought they were going to win. That, I mean, Mom and I, we ate dinner and watched the game come on, and I thought they might pull this one through, but it didn't happen.
I can't even watch a lot of their games anymore because
I know, and you used to be a diehard fan.
I still got all my Cowboys memorabilia up in here, a lot of stuff my mother sent to me. Because she knew that I was a fan, and I made her be a fan.
Right.
But it's just, I don't know, the team just is not the same to me. I kind of started waning from them when Jimmy Johnson was no longer the coach. I loved Barry Switzer, but I think what he did, 2 seasons. And after that, with all these changes, you know, I can't even tell you who all the coaches were. It was Chan Gailey and other folks. So I'm like, I just can't keep up with this team. I know very few of the players, and Lord, don't ask me what their numbers are. But you may have Cowboys fans out there, you know, and Cowboys stuff may be a good Christmas gift.
Mississippi State, so he was awesome at Mississippi State, and he's awesome as a quarterback. But it is the team that we need to come together and do what it needs to do.
Yeah, so, you know, and there are other professional teams that your fans are probably, your listeners are probably fans of. That's probably a good gift to give somebody. I had a supervisor one time who, now you talking about a Cowboy fan. He was really into the Cowboys, and like when we would have fun dress day at work, he came in cowboy everything and had some of the craziest looking house slippers I'd ever seen in my life.
Uh-huh.
And the Cowboys stuff. I think they were made like Rowdy, the mascot, or something. I don't know. They were just some of the strangest, funniest looking cowboy. House shoes I'd ever seen. And I happened to be in Walgreens one day, and they had the the shopping bags that you can buy. They had cowboy shopping bags on sale for $1.99. And I bought him one and surprised him with it. And he was so happy. He hung it up in his office. He bragged on it. So, yeah, if you have listeners who have NFL teams that they like, you probably couldn't go wrong by giving them something from their team.
Exactly.
A mug, a jersey, socks, a throw, items that are not very expensive but would be well-received.
Right, and you can usually visit your favorite team's gift shop. NFL, you can visit NFL and then also check out your favorite teams. That's NFL and NBA. And any other sports, right?
Yes.
And I'm amazed at the listeners because, U.S., we're number one of my Cut the Shock Entertainment Reports, but then number two, U.K., France, number three, India, Australia. Those are the top five shows that listen to this broadcast. Those are the top five countries.
Mm.
Yes, listeners, because there are so many listeners worldwide that thought that when I was on hiatus, the show was not coming back. And the worldwide listeners love us, Linda.
They do?
They love us.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
So thank you all.
I was beginning to think it was just you and me.
I know, but they're out there. They're all around the world. They're in Dubai. They're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It even amazes me when I look at the stats, and then when I literally hear from people, literally message me, video message me. I'm like, oh, my God. So thank you.
Well, tell the Dubai listeners that I have put them as the number one destination on my list, which
Dubai
used to be. It used to be Hong Kong, because that was my favorite spot in the world for I don't know how many years. Then it was Paris, but after my trip last year to Dubai, I think that's my most favorite spot on the planet.
Wow, and I think London is like my place I've never been to, and I hope to, since I'll be turning 50 next year. I really want to travel more. And I thought nothing could replace London and Paris for you but Dubai.
I love London, and
I noticed a lot of American celebrities love Dubai also.
Yes, yes,
I noticed that.
One of my friends sent me an article yesterday on Dubai about all the do's and don'ts. You can't do this, you can't do that. I said, and I had that fear last year when I was researching it, because if I'm going somewhere that I've never been before, I always do a lot of research first.
Right.
And I
because my friend Omar, the one that you had mentioned, and I can't wait for you to meet, there's a contest that Mexico is running, and I promoted on my page that I will, they have a job opening that you can work there in a tourism department for 6 months and get paid $60,000 to post on Cancun's, on Mexico's social media, to be their social media ambassador. And so I told Amar I was going to apply and send a video in and see if I could become one of the top five candidates. And he warned me of how dangerous it is to be in Mexico. And what you just mentioned just made me think of that. And then,
a lot of people, especially from Texas, like to go down to Mexico.
Right.
But that's just not one of my favorite places. I mean, I loved Acapulco way back. It was about 30-something years when I went there. I loved it. But I got Montezuma's Revenge, and for some reason that just turned me against Mexico. I'm sure the water is not a problem now, but I never had a desire to go back. Not even in the close proximity of it being here right by. I just have no desire to go back to Mexico for any reason.
Right.
But anyway, I was telling you about my friend that sent this article to me on Dubai about how dangerous it is and women can't do this, women can't do that.
Yeah,
and
that's why
friend,
I asked you about the etiquette.
Well, my friend that went with me, she works with a lot of people from India who, for them, going to Dubai would be the equivalent of you or me probably going to New York or Chicago or something. You know,
okay.
it's a very frequent trip for them. And they had kept telling her, stop worrying about all that, that a lot of that stuff is not true, y'all will be fine. And when we got to Dubai, we had nothing to worry about. A lot of the stuff online, I don't know if you have people who are anti-Muslim or haters. I don't know what it is, but a lot of this information, this negative information about Dubai simply is not true. And like I was telling him.
I hear that from your story and watching the Kardashians and watching some of our top celebrities tour Dubai with their movies. I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It seems safe to me.
Yeah, it is. A lot of this information probably is, like I said, from people who are haters. For some reason,
right.
They have an axe to grind with Dubai. I just don't know what it is. And like I tell people, when you leave the United States, you are an ambassador, whether you want to be
right.
or not. And present yourself in the best light possible, because for years, Americans have this reputation of being the ugly American, and I have seen it. Yeah, but Americans are very arrogant. They
right.
like to think, and I don't mean, you know, all Americans, but for some reason,
yeah.
some of us like to think that we are better than everybody else,
right.
that this country is better than anybody else. This country, it's nice to have pride in your country and to say your country is the best. But let's not take it to extremes. Other countries are good, too. They may not have the same type of government that we have, but it works for them.
Right.
So, and not everybody in the world, contrary to popular belief, wants to come and live in America. If that were the case, you wouldn't have people living happily in other countries.
Right.
But I think Dubai gets a bad rap. I felt as safe and as welcome there as I felt going to France or England or any other place. And then
uh-huh.
there was this myth about, oh, they don't treat black people well in Dubai. They don't like black people. Well, you've got prejudices all over the world. I mean, they don't like black people in America. Some folks don't. But I didn't find
goodness.
That. And what I saw was quite a few Africans working in Dubai. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't feel any prejudice or discrimination or whatever because I was black. So
right,
anybody
exactly.
out there,
and when, you know, when my second husband, we were running into Arab Muslim, and
mm-hmm.
all one of the most peaceful places I've ever felt, the mosque in Plano, I mean,
mm-hmm.
was so welcoming, so loving at that
mm-hmm.
very nice mosque in Plano, Masjid Plano. And no type of prejudice whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't
you know
what some people are, what some people think.
I don't know if it's envy because they can't go, or I just don't know what it is. I don't know why Dubai has that bad rap.
Right.
But I certainly had a thrill of a lifetime, and I don't
Ooh,
say that
your
about
pictures,
a.
Your pictures looked wonderful. Like you had a. Had so much fun.
Yeah, and people are asking
uh-huh.
me, well, why would you want to go there? And I said, well, the architecture. And one of my former coworkers
right.
said, well, you can go to Chicago
or New
York.
I mean, my goodness, those images are so surreal.
Uh-huh. I said, no, the architecture there, you can't compare it to what we have. You know, they're not just tall buildings. They have creativity
right.
to them. And I said, you know, if you've never been, if you don't want to look at a video on YouTube or somewhere, then it's hard for me to even try to describe how the place looks. So, you know, if you're going to be so prejudiced and biased against the place and you don't even want to see for yourself online, I can't tell you why I liked it so much and why I
why?
Can't wait to go back.
Right.
But I have no complaints about Dubai. It's affordable because people were like, I don't know why people want to know how much you spent, how much something cost. To me, it's rude to ask those kinds of questions.
Right.
But I think people, they probably feel close enough to me that they can ask. Like one of my friends yesterday talked to me and wanted to know, well, how much did you spend? How much did that trip cost? And so I told her, and then I said, but you can go as cheaply as you want to or as expensive, because I would get emails from Emirates Airlines all the time. I could not believe you could get round-trip air tickets from Dallas, Texas, nonstop to Dubai for $650.
No way.
Yes, hotel.
You can go to L.A. from Jackson for that. Oh, my God.
Or it'll cost more. And you can stay in some of the nicest hotels in the world for less than $100 a night. It just depends on what you want to do. I wanted to experience the Burj Al Arab, and I was willing to pay. And when, you know, people ask, well, how much did that hotel cost? And when I tell them, I could have done this with that money, or you could have done that, that's true. But I wanted to spend two nights at the Burj Al Arab. And
right.
I felt that whatever they charged was worth it. But I don't know. You know, you have different people coming from different backgrounds and different biases. And
right. I have another friend that will be a guest on a show in the near future that I've met in one of the blog groups I'm in. And she worked in corporate America. And I invited you to her group page. It's the Brown Girl Nomad, and she quit her working in corporate America to just travel like you do. She traveled the world. She got tired of working in corporate America and decided, I am going to tour the world. And so she's coming on the show in the near future to talk about what you're talking about. Have an open mind and go out there and live life and travel and go to places, even if you must go alone sometimes. Go and travel.
Yep, because you know I've had to do that quite a few times.
Right.
I had to travel alone. Mm-hmm.
I didn't interrupt you, but yeah.
Oh, that's okay. And then a lot of Americans take their vacations during the summer. Well,
right.
I recommend going, if you can, go in the wintertime to some of these places to see how they are decorated.
That's something I've always noticed about you. You usually take your vacations during holidays.
Mm-hmm. And if you can't go, well, by all means, watch PBS and catch Rick Steves Travels Europe and see how beautiful those places are in the wintertime.
Germany is one place
Germany,
I love to watch on PBS.
Yeah, Germany, Austria, Belgium. Now, I have to admit, I have some fear because of ISIS, you know, planting bombs or whatever, but you can't let that hold you back. And I haven't visited those places, even though I would like to, because, you know, like I said, I liked Paris so much. I went to London once during the holiday season, and I just can't get over the awesomeness of the way these cities are decorated. Even Dubai, a Muslim country, they had all these Christmas decorations. Now, that threw me for a loop, and if I had not been, I would tell people, oh, no, that's a Muslim country. They don't put up Christmas decorations, blah, blah, blah. But I went for myself, and I saw that they do. Because I've had people to try to tell me about what they do and don't do in certain countries. Somebody even told me they don't eat spaghetti in Italy. I said, that's a lie. One of my first meals in Italy was spaghetti. And somebody said, and they don't eat pizza in Italy. And like, where are you getting this information from? They're very famous for pizza. You have different styles of pizza in different areas of Italy. So don't listen to somebody who doesn't have a clue as to what they're talking about. You know, experience things for yourself.
Right. And debunk the myths. These myths,
yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yes, indeed.
So in regards to online shopping, shopping for travel or shopping for others or gift ideas, how can people shop online safely?
Make
I
sure
think you,
you
shared
see,
a little bit with us last week.
Yeah,
but
make
what,
sure
are
you
there
see
any,
that,
that
little...
any ways we can shop safely?
Yeah, up there in your browser, make sure that you see that little lock up there by the HTTP, because I don't shop, I won't shop at a website that I don't see that. Now, personally, I don't shop on my phone because I'm not savvy enough to know how to make sure everything on my phone is secure, but I feel pretty safe. And, you know, if you receive an email from a merchant, if you are not sure about them, just go to their website. Because sometimes I will get offers from places that I order from. I get stuff from Macy's, Amazon, all these places all day, every day, emails. But if I'm not sure, somehow it just doesn't look legitimate to me, I just go directly to their website and make sure, like I said, that little lock is up there in the browser. Or you can, you know, people can still call on the phone and call, you know, that 800 number and shop that way. Or you can shop on TV, QVC, what is it, HSN, Home Shopping Network. I think you have a friend, a designer that sells on one of those.
Yeah, and you and I probably share the same friend, Anthony.
Yeah, because Anthony's based
in Dallas a long time. HSN.
Yeah, you can shop safely from a lot of different places, but just make sure, you know, to use a credit card and not your debit card. Now, what I do is order and shop with American Express. I think I mentioned last week. If it's something that you did not buy or if you're having a problem with the merchant or the vendor, American Express is your best ombudsman. They will go to bat for you. No questions asked.
And that's today's event, you know, Small Business Saturday.
And Small Business Saturday. Yes, definitely go and shop at your small business retailer, even if it's just a restaurant. And, and you can do safe shopping pretty much with any credit card, but I know the best results I've gotten are from American Express. But if you've used your debit card, you've got to deal with your bank, and they're not very quick to, at least my bank isn't, to refund your money. They have to do fraud investigations.
Right.
They have to do this and that and research a whole bunch.
And you have
to
be careful of those apps. Like I said before, I had a cell phone stolen, and my bank had to investigate and literally find out the culprit was an app. You know, I guess whoever stole my phone, I mean, connected the apps and were able to deduct money, you know.
Yeah,
so we have to be careful. Like you were saying, they were at safe websites, and of those apps, that just try not to use the apps if you don't have to.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't feel safe doing anything with money on my phone. However,
connected to your checking account and your check card,
not on the phone. The younger people that I know, they don't understand how I can function in life without using apps. And I said, well, I guess it's because I functioned all these years without an app. One of my little coworkers told me the other day, how did people get along before apps?
Right.
Very easily. We didn't have to have apps. You know, you don't need somebody to do something for you all the time. And everything is not convenient, because it's not convenient for me to sit on a phone searching through all this stuff.
Exactly.
I didn't grow up that way. I'm not accustomed to it, so I'm not comfortable with it. I just like to do things the old-fashioned way.
If you can't do it online, and call the old-fashioned way and place your order.
And be careful of deliveries. Make sure you track deliveries, because UPS and FedEx will leave merchandise at your door. One of my friends and Facebook friends posted something on Facebook the other day. She had ordered a lot of pies and stuff, and FedEx left them at the door. and they stole stuff. They opened packages, took out what they want, and left the boxes.
FedEx or other people?
There. FedEx. Well, I mean, FedEx left
God.
The packages, but somebody, you know, I don't know if it was in her neighborhood or where, but she put on Facebook that
right.
they came and stole the boxes, and then they opened some and took what they wanted and left the trash right there at her door.
Right,
and
right
I
before airtime, I heard that those people are called porch pirates.
That
steal your packages.
Yeah.
They should be wary of porch pirates.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy.
And a lot of times I'm at home, but the UPS and FedEx drivers won't even bother to knock on my door. And I live in an apartment complex. They will just leave the package in front of my door, or most of the time they will take it to the leasing office. Some apartments in Dallas are getting to the place where they won't sign for your packages anymore, which is a big inconvenience. Yeah, but my office, my leasing office, is very good about signing for packages. But a lot of times I don't know the packages.
I know when I lived in Sherman, Texas, mine was nice, too. I used to do my best to be at my apartment, but usually they would leave my packages in the office.
Yeah, because like I said, I'm at home a lot of times during delivery, and they don't bother to come knock on my door. They just immediately take it to the leasing office. And if you don't track that package online, you don't have any way of knowing it's there. I had some food that to spoil because I didn't know it had been delivered to my leasing office. You know,
my goodness.
Calling talking about, where is my package? Where is my package? And see, the leasing office doesn't call you, which is not their responsibility. They don't call you and tell you you have a package over there.
Right.
So, I have to check on.
If you've noted that I will be at my place,
thinking they're bringing
it to your place.
And you can ask for a signature delivery, but it just depends on the driver. It depends on what kind of mood he's in. Now, UPS, I have a regular driver. I don't know if he's on vacation or what. But the last package I got, I think it was last week, he didn't deliver it. It was somebody else. I don't know if it was a UPS helper or what. But my regular guy is very nice. He would come and bam on my door. And he's the type, he will wait for me because, you know, if he doesn't hear me saying, I'm coming, he will go to the leasing office. But if he hears me saying, I'm coming, he will wait for me to come to the door. He's very, very nice, and he's been delivering my packages for years. But that's the only one that I can brag on. All these other drivers, honey, they will leave your stuff in front of somebody else's apartment. Thank goodness people have been honest enough to let me know that they got a package that was mine. And if they, give me a package and it's not mine, I take it to the leasing office. I don't just go to somebody's apartment and say, here's your package. I'll take it over to the leasing office and let them contact the person.
Right.
So, it's a shame you have porch pirates. I didn't know that was the term, but I'll use
it
from now
on. That was the term. I heard the term right before airtime on ABC News, on Local 16, because they were talking about online shopping. They shared the information that you just shared, and also they said be careful of porch pirates. And I thought that was a very unique term because that's exactly what they are, porch pirates.
Exactly. And it's a shame that we live in a world where people just I think that's their vocation. We just going to go out here and take packages. Yeah, this is what
and
you
even
do. This
some
is how
people,
to get
they
around
show some images
camera.
Of people dressed like delivery workers. You know, they weren't actually delivery workers, but they were dressed in the attire. So I guess it wouldn't be obvious that they're stealing your packages.
And some of them don't even care, Beth. They
just
walk up there. And I know they got to know that they're being on camera. But I guess maybe if they're caught, they're not prosecuted, or the fine is so small, the punishment is so small, to it's advantageous or profitable for them to just go into the business of stealing packages.
Those of you that deliver our packages, please deliver them with care too, because those stories that show male men and women who just throw packages around.
Yeah.
Don't care what's in the packages. It could say fragile, and please treat people packages with care. Don't just toss
right.
them around.
I know when I was selling items on eBay, I used to put fragile all over the box because a lot of the stuff was actually very fragile. And the lady at the counter in the post office would say, is this packed extremely well? And I'd tell her, yes, it is. She said, because you and I are the only ones who are going to pay attention to fragile. She said, once it's on that truck, it's no longer going
oh
to be
God.
Handled fragile. Mm-hmm.
It would be
yeah,
handled
so
regardless, huh?
Yeah,
oh my goodness.
They know, yeah, that the handlers are going to take those packages and do like I guess maybe the baggage handlers with your luggage, throw it all up in the air, over the fence, round the corner, on top of the house. Fragile doesn't really mean what fragile used to mean.
Toss them around like they're NBA players.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I'm glad you brought that up. Please
yeah,
handle
those are,
with
those,
care.
Those are stories, too, that just horrify me when I see those stories. I'm like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and mailmen, please deliver the mail and not throw it in the sewer. Because I saw
mm-hmm.
that on the local news here where people in Mesquite were not getting their mail and somebody happened to pass by one of the sewers and just saw tons of mail. People are
You're
getting
kidding.
Their check. Mm-mm. Their bills, you know, you've got bill collectors calling, talking about you
right.
haven't paid us. Well, a lot of times you don't get, it's true, you did not get the bill because the mailman didn't deliver it. Now, yes, you know that you owe this, but that's like I never drive on Dallas Tollway unless I get on there accidentally or my friend
uh-huh.
from New Orleans was here a few weeks ago. And
right.
he wanted me to take him over to Grapevine, Texas, and he said we can get on the tollway because that was the only way his he programmed his GPS. So
right.
I took him over to Grapevine, over there near Grapevine Mills Mall, and came back on the tollway. And I kept looking
mm-hmm.
and looking and looking for that bill to come because I'm like, I do not want them to say that I owe them extra money for not paying on time or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it came, the bill for the tollway came the other day.
Right.
And so, but now suppose my mailman had put it in somebody else's box, which he is known
right.
to do. Yeah, I get other people's mail all the time, and I just
uh-huh.
put on their return to sender carrier, left it in the wrong box.
Yeah,
and,
I do that.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with packages, I mean, they're leaving packages everywhere. So, shoppers, please track your packages. If it says
uh-huh.
delivered, to ask them whose signature is that. And if you didn't
right.
sign for it, you're not responsible. It's like
mm-hmm.
I didn't sign for that. It was not delivered to me. And I would think that these merchants or vendors or whoever would want the merchandise to go to the right person. Because
mm-hmm.
if you didn't receive it, you don't have to pay for it.
Right.
And some places want you to track your own packages. I've had FedEx to tell me, well, you need to call. Now, I don't need to do anything. Your driver was supposed to have delivered it to me, and he didn't. You trace it. And I'm not trying to badmouth, you know, the carriers, but I'm just going
mm-hmm.
on the incidents that have happened to me.
Right. And, yeah.
And if you, you know, are sending a package long distance, you want to make sure that person has received it. Because a
exactly.
lot of times, you know, you're thinking that they got the package and you never hear, well, I got your package, or you don't get a thank you card, and that's something else in etiquette. Please give thank you cards. You know, don't send an email saying, I got this, or don't send a text message saying, send a thank you card.
Right.
Good manners never go out of style.
And you're right. You like to know that your recipient received the package.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just a receipt for you, for your purpose, or ask for whomever, for them to sign, or if it's their secretary or whomever, ask for someone's signature. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You like to know that the package is received.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. At least get the receipt or ask for, get the receipt and also ask that a signature be required when it's delivered.
Exactly. But hopefully, the weather is gorgeous over here, so hopefully people will go out and shop with the small businesses this weekend. I'm going to see if I can't find something to do. It may not be today, but I will find, some small
businesses. I know you do love to frequent Addison, which I love that area also. And
yes.
So I was wondering what favorite area would you maybe step out and shop in or eat in. Because I noticed some of your favorite restaurants are in some of the most beautiful places.
Yeah, I love Addison, Carrollton, and Plano.